Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The easy thing to do, the safe thing to do, would be to stay in Detroit and ride that wave, because that's going to be a good team for a number of years here. I also felt like I'm a competitor at my heart, my core, okay? And that's what appealed to me about this opportunity, and particularly in this division. This is the best division in football.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was new Bears head coach Ben Johnson on the Pro Football Talk podcast. I am Rami Makhlouf with you until 9 o'clock and live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We'll switch gears and talk some Bulls with the voice of the Chicago Bulls, Chuck Swirsky, coming up at 7:20. But keep the Bears talk going right now. And joining me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois from the NFL Network and the Sick Podcast, my pleasure to welcome in Adam Rank. Adam, how are you this evening, my man?
Rami, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm happy about the Ben Johnson hire, and I know you are too. A lot of guys, a lot of girls in the national media, they'll sort of hide their fandom. You wear your Bears fandom right there on your sleeve and on your head. I turned on the NFL Network shortly after the Ben Johnson news broke, and you were on with Todd Pelissero and Stacey Dales and had the Bears hat at the ready. You were fired up about this hire, my friend.
I was ready. Tommy was talking about how I wear many hats for the NFL Network, you know, fantasy enthusiast, NFL analyst, and all that stuff. And I'm like, well, I had a Bears hat like right next to me. So I'm like, all right, I'll wear this Bears hat. I don't care. I will go out there and proudly wear it. You know, it's funny because, you know, a couple of years ago on the fantasy show, we used to do our showrunner, was like, hey, we're going to do jerseys or NFL gear on Friday. So always wear a jersey or something like NFL-y on Friday. And I'm like, so like all the other hosts or whatever, they would wear like different teams and different, like Bears every time. I think the only time I've ever not worn something Bears, I think I wore MJD's jersey one time because MJD was on a show with me. And I'm like, that was fine. But yeah, I don't mind, and I think like when you coming from, then there's more authenticity. Like I'm not going to sit like the Packer fans know. Like I'm obviously if I'm saying bad things about Jordan Love, you can, and if you want to dismiss that, that's fine. But I don't want there to be any doubt to be like, I think this guy doesn't like Jordan. Like, I'll just tell you, yeah, I don't, not personally, but as a person who plays quarterback in the NFL, I don't care for him.
And I respect that. And what is your favorite thing about the Ben Johnson hire? We hear about what this means big picture for the Bears, what this could mean for Caleb Williams and his development. What's the thing that most excites you about the Ben Johnson hire?
This is going to sound weird, and I know that I work for the NFL and I come off like a shill every once in a while. so I'm going to take this victory lap in a moment, but I do want to point out now, obviously, the ability for people, the creativity on offense, somebody to help Caleb Williams get to that next level. All of that stuff is great, and I really love it, and it's perfect, and it's all the talking points. I like that he came out and called out Matt LaFleur personally. It wasn't like a Chicago cheat sheet of like, I like deep dish pizza, never put mustard on a hot dog. I like both baseball teams, and, you know, I don't like the – like, no, this was a personal thing, and I liked it, but – the one thing, and this is what I've been saying for weeks, is the argument is always like the Bears find a way to mess something up. The Bears will do the wrong thing. And it always comes back to the McCaskey family and people saying like the McCaskeys will never do this. Well, you know what? We got to give a little bit of credit to George and the Hallis family, or the McCaskey and Hallis family, for going out there and opening the checkbook. Like it could have been really easy to sit there and bring in Mike McCarthy or Pete Carroll and try to sell the fan base on like, hey, these guys are proven winners, whatever. Nope. The Bears went out there, took the guy who was the coaching candidate du jour for the last two seasons, opened the checkbook, gave him close to 14 mil, made it happen. And to me, that shows me that the Bears are now a serious football organization. It's not some mom and pop org that people like to paint them as. This is a serious football organization. The NFL exists because of George Hallis. The Green Bay Packers for sure exist because of George Hallis. Okay, the family went out. The McCaskeys went out there and ponied up the money when they needed to, and I think that's a great thing, not just for right now, but for the future of the Chicago Bears.
Talking with Adam Rank of the NFL Network, and also check out the Sick Podcast where Adam talks Bears over there, wherever you get your podcast. And Adam, I saw you and your co-host on that podcast talking about the fact that Bears fans kind of aren't used to having nice things or getting the bell of the ball. And right along the lines of what you were just talking about, of saying, you know, this looks like the Bears are a serious football organization. I'll be frank with you. I'm not going to hide behind, you know, some people say, or I'm playing devil's advocate, much of the first hour before I brought you on, I was saying, look, I like the Ben Johnson hire. I hope it's a sign that things are changing and a sign of things to come, but I won't believe that the Bears have truly changed their ways, and the dysfunction that we talked about for so long is completely washed out of that building until I see, like, 2, 3, 4 years of good football and relevance and success. Is that fair, or am I just a Bears fan who's not used to having nice things, and so I'm holding back my joy and emotions?
It is fair. Because you want to see the results on the field. Like, all that stuff is well and good because you're like, hey, you know, that's understandable. My only pushback would be like, if you look back to when Ryan Poles was hired and they brought in Ian Cunningham. Now, this is something that Ryan Pace wanted, more investment in the front office. He wanted an assistant GM, which he didn't get. But now Ryan Poles has gotten that. The Bears have joined other NFL organizations that have bought plots of land to develop for a stadium. And regardless of where anybody believes the stadium is going to go, this is the same trajectory that the Kroenke family went through out here in Los Angeles before eventually SoFi Stadium was built. It takes a long time. It's about the same time. Like, don't panic on that. There'll be a shovel in the dirt at some point this calendar year. And so these small incremental steps are leading me to the point of like, hey, I like what the McCaskey family is doing and where this organization is headed. The only thing to me now is like the football people have to now get it done. The family has done everything they can. The family can't do anymore. They've done it. They've gotten us there. They've gotten us everything that we've wanted. It's kind of like when I was a child and I was sitting there and I wanted Air Jordans and my dad, parents, you know, we'll buy you Air Jordans. Now it's you to go there and do the work to make the high school basketball team. You got to go do it. We did this. You got to do that. You got to do your point. Spoiler alert, I made the team. This is where the Bears football people need to come up and need to step up. And it's great. And I know this is something that Kyle Long has said, where it's like, hey, I don't want you to tell me. I want you to show me. I think it's very fair to sit here and be like, all right, Ben, Ben is who I want. I wanted Mike Vrabel, but still, I was in on Ben Johnson too. I was like, I'm not upset at this at all. I'm very excited about this, but remember this, this is who we wanted. It's up to him. And it's up to this. It's up to the people in the locker room. He talked about that when he was that first video that we saw on Tuesday morning. He was like, "We need to do everything that supports the guys in the locker room." Well, now it's the locker room guys. It's the coaches. You guys have to go get this done. I think that the Bears family has put them in the right spot. Now it's up to them to go do it. And I have a lot of confidence that they're going to get it done.
Did he, quote-unquote, win the press conference in your eyes, Adam? Did he impress you when you were watching him be introduced as the next head coach of the Chicago Bears on Wednesday?
As long as there were no acronyms or anything like that or anything, that was a win. I don't want to hear about loafs. I don't want to hear about hits or whatever. Just solid football, like football stuff. And like, you know, looking at Caleb Williams and telling him, like, we got to do more to help you out. It's not just you. We got to do this thing. I like the message of it all, and it all makes sense. And, you know, the one thing that really that I'm encouraged by when you talk about Ben Johnson is a lot of – and people, you know, the haters, like every – it's so funny because everybody loved Ben Johnson until the moment he got hired by the Bears. They were like, this is the greatest quarterback. This is the greatest coaching prospect in NFL history. Oh, when he was hired by the Bears, he's not that good. And you're like, I understand there's a Bears tax on everything, but this is the one thing, because all the haters come out and they're like, I heard this about Josh McDaniels or Adam Gase or Matt Nagy, which is all true.
Yes.
But when you think about the quarterbacks that those people were working with, when you're working with Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, like there's a step down when you take the next job. This is one of those rare occurrences where the coach is upgrading his quarterback. And this is maybe a little disrespect to Jared Goff, maybe a little. Jared Goff's he's a fine journeyman quarterback. That there's no doubt about it. I know he's a number one overall pick at one point. We get that. He went to a Super Bowl. God bless him. However, this is a step up going to Caleb Williams. And when Ben Johnson talks about tailoring his offense to Caleb Williams' skill set, mm-hmm. not the skill set of the coach, that's the biggest issue. When you have guys like Josh McDaniels, and they come from the Belichick Patriot way, Matt Patricia went through this as well, and he flamed out in Detroit because of it. They think that they can just exert this Patriot way or whatever Andy Reid is doing and just make it work with any quarterback instead of being like, what is good about this player and how do I make the most out of that? It's like, listen, I've got an Xbox. I don't use it as a water ski. I use it to play video games. That's what you got to go out and do.
Talk with Adam Rank of the NFL Network right here on The Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. He said he thinks they can win in 2025. Should we hold him to that, or should the measuring stick be more the progress and development of Caleb Williams and what our eyes tell us we're seeing from the Bears quarterback next year?
No, I want wins. I think it's fair to want wins, and I think that, you know, it could be a slow starting season that kind of gets kick-started at some point. But when you look at some of these organizations, you look at what the Houston Texans did 2 years ago when they, you know, they drafted C.J. Stroud, they hired D'Amico Ryans, Bobby Slowick's there as the offensive coordinator. They've won back-to-back AFC South titles. The Washington Commanders this season go mm-hmm. to the playoffs. You know, like, there is no reason to slow play anything. This is the NFL. This is not like baseball. This is not like baseball where only four teams are allowed to win or have an opportunity to win. The NFL is prided itself on parity. And I know that going into this season, we were kind of looking at the Bears as at the time, a seven-win team. They lost three games in the fourth quarter, and that shouldn't be a problem. Well, apparently it was a problem. There's still talent there. And Ben even talked about this during the press conference, is that everybody was concerned about the Bears based on their talent last year. And so I feel like when you have three picks in the top 41, you have $66 million to spend in free agency, there should be a reasonable expectation that the Bears have a winning record. I would set the floor at 10 wins. I know that I'm the more optimistic than a lot of people, but I think there should be a realistic expectation that this team will win games next season.
I like it. I like holding him up to some expectations, too. While I got you here, Adam Rank of the NFL Network, I did want to touch on the championship weekend coming up on Sunday. And I don't know what it was, but I had a gut feeling. I have the text messages to prove it, that Washington was going to pull one out on Sunday, even though they were heavy dogs last week. And for some reason, I got that same feeling about them and the Eagles this coming weekend in the NFC Championship. Can you see Jaden Daniels as a rookie quarterback pulling this thing off and taking the Commanders all the way to the Super Bowl?
Again, that's one of the great things about the NFL, is like nothing would surprise me. And Jaden Daniels going out there and being able to beat the Philadelphia Eagles, I would not be shocked if that was happening. Am I anticipating it? Am I picking the Commanders to win? I am not. But if we're sitting here a week from now having this discussion, I'm like, yeah, I mean, like, it isn't out of the realm of possibility. Even like when you look back at the game against the Lions, you know, if you're like, hey, Jared Goff's going to turn the ball over a ton and the Lions end up pratfalling like they've done for the last 80 years, you're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Similarly, if the Commanders find a way to win, based on what they've been able to do this season, nothing would shock me because they've been fortunate. I do just have to ask, like, when you dissect the Commander season, and Jaden Daniels is the rookie of the year, I won't dispute that. But I truly believe if it wasn't for Tyreek Stevenson, the Commanders might not have made the playoffs. Like, literally, like that is the butterfly effect the whole year.
Yep.
Because they would have lost that game. Then the following week they did beat the Giants, but who knows where their headspace would have been. They lost three consecutive games. And then they went back and they started beating and the quarterbacks they beat when they closed out the season, like it was Spencer Rattler, Trey Lance, Will Levis. I think it was Kenny Pickett. It wasn't Jalen Hurts. He got injured during that game. So, but I mean, like, everything's coming up Commanders. So for me to just say there's no chance for the Commanders winning, like, you would be a fool to say such a thing.
And the big one this Sunday, the one that everybody's waiting for and talking about, maybe the game of the year, the Chiefs and the Bills. Can Josh Allen, I know he beat them in the regular season, but they've been a problem in the postseason. Can Josh Allen finally pull this off and take out Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
I feel like anybody who's not a fan of the Chiefs or Taylor Swift kind of wants the Bills to win. But there's something about me that, and I officially did pick the Bills to win, mostly because I have a lot of fans in Denver, and I was, okay, I'll keep them on my side. But at the same time, like, there's something poetic, and I believe it was Nick Wright who brought this up, and if it wasn't, I'm sorry if I'm not giving the proper person credit. Like, the whole notion of, like, Patrick Mahomes was acquired by a pick or a trade with the Buffalo Bills. Like, there is something about, like, the Bills constantly losing to this guy, like the Babe Ruth thing with the Yankees and the Red Sox. I'm like, I kind of get that. Like, that part of poetry of sport is kind of fun in a way. But again, the AFC is perfect to me because, number one, you get Josh Allen. If he wins, you're like, okay, who's mad at Josh Allen? Nobody. People love Josh Allen, as they should. Also, as somebody who loves seeing things that you never see before, the Chiefs with an opportunity to three-peat, to my knowledge, if I'm getting this incorrect, but I think the team opportunities to three-peat, didn't, lost in the conference championship games or sooner. I don't think there's been a team that was going for a three-peat that lost in the Super Bowl. So I think like the history of aspect of that is fun as well. So the AFC game is truly one of those ones where you're like, regardless of what happens, I think it's a great story either way.
It's going to be a great, great championship Sunday. That's Adam Rank. Catch him all over the NFL Network, talking Bears on the Sick podcast, wherever you get podcasts, and follow him on Twitter at Adam Rank. Adam, great stuff, man. Really appreciate the time.
No, thank you so much. It was great talking to you, Rami, and let's do this again. Whenever you're filling in, you tell the producers, like, I got to get Rank on the air, and I will be there for you.
I'll put that in my pocket. I appreciate that, Adam. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
And he joins me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Court of Dreams. Join Lawrence Holmes and Remy Martin at Binney's in Orland Park tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. and register for your chance to play hoops on the Court of Dreams at the United Center with us on February 22nd. Remy Martin, team up for excellence. How many people get a chance to do that? Go and play basketball on the United Center court. We had some breaking Bears news while I was talking with Adam Rank. By the way, JT Barrett is also coming from Detroit to join Ben Johnson's staff. He will be the Bears quarterbacks coach. He was the assistant QB coach the previous 2 years for the Lions, and Cowboys defensive backs coach Al Harris, a former Packers standout cornerback, according to Adam Schefter, also joining the Bears coaching staff as Chicago's defensive pass game coordinator and DB's coach, per a source. That, along with the news that Antoine Randall is coming from the Lions staff, their wide receivers coach, is coming over to be the assistant head coach and wide receivers coach for Ben Johnson and the Bears. So Ben Johnson's staff taking shape here in Chicago a few days after he was named the new Bears head coach. We'll hit a quick break on the other side, switch gears, talk some Bulls with your voice of the Chicago Bulls right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 Score. Chuck Swirsky joins me, Rami Makhlouf, next right here on the Score Evening Show.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rebound post. The outlet goes to Pachinski. He's going to advance right full court. He's going to dribble it out. And thankfully, folks, this ball game is over. A very disappointing performance by the Chicago Bulls in the second half. The Golden State Warriors put on a clinic, and they beat the Bulls tonight here in San Francisco, 131-106.
We're back. Live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was heard right here on The Score in the Bulls Radio Network. And that man you just heard, Chuck Swirsky, joins me now on The Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. And Chuck Swirsky is brought to you by Great Lakes Credit Union. Join GLCU in banking for a greater good. Visit glcu.org for details. Chuck, always a pleasure, sir. How are you this evening?
Good, Rami. How you doing?
I'm doing good. That was a rough performance last night in San Francisco. We just heard the back end of it there, and it just seemed like, and Billy Donovan even called out some of his players about it after the game. It seemed like they just ran out of steam, or maybe even there was a little bit of quit in this basketball team late in that one last night.
Well, I don't know if they quit. I can tell you, I mean, anytime you go 13 of 18 from three-point range, 72% in the first half, I mean, you know, you have to look at it realistically. You're not going to be able to shoot that. No team does for our four quarters. So what happens is that they couldn't buy a shot in the second half. I mean, now they went to the other extreme. You would think things would settle down where hopefully you're going to shoot, you know, 40% in the second half. But that was not the case. And then, of course, Golden State got it going. They had unbelievable performances from Santos, Pajemski, Post. I mean, guys that, you know, have come out of nowhere and have really helped Steph Curry. Because Curry, you could tell last night, he was laboring. You know, he's had an ankle issue. They have been blitzing him. Every team has thrown doubles at him. And it's been really miraculous, to his credit, in his 16th year, that he's still able to play at a very high level when everyone knows when he's on the floor, he's going to shoot a logo three, right?
Yeah.
So the thing that bothered me last night about that game, I can accept losing. I don't like losing. I want, you know, the Bulls to win every game. I know that's not possible, obviously. But if you're going to go down, you go down fighting. And last night, the reserves were on the floor late in the game. And, I mean, Golden State was just beating them in transition hoops, you know, up and down the floor, where Billy Donovan called a timeout with, like, about 5 minutes to go in the game. And, I mean, that simply cannot happen. And you've got to address that promptly, which he did. And I am glad he did that. And I, you know, endorse that 100%. And so, you know, it's a very strong message, and I think it was delivered, and I think they heard it. And so hopefully tomorrow, with Philadelphia coming to town, and they're playing as we speak against Cleveland, hopefully, you know, the Bulls will be able to take it to a Philadelphia team that's really just, you know, I mean, they aren't the 76ers of a year ago, 3 years ago and whatnot. This is a ball club that really is a shell of their former self.
You know, Chuck, I think the last time I talked to you was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. They had just beat the Celtics. They had a three-game winning streak. They were playing some of their best basketball that we had seen this season. Now they've lost six of their last seven. What do you think is the major difference in those two stretches? Is it simply, we know they shoot a lot of three-pointers, third most in the NBA. Is it simply shots not falling at the rate that we saw earlier in the year?
Well, I think, number one, I think they've got to address second-chance points, and that comes on the boards. And the Bulls have done a really good job rebounding the basketball, but when you give up repeatedly during the course of a game second-chance points, I mean, the three stats I look at the end of a game, Rami, I always see the differential of 3 points made, okay? So all you have to do is look last night. 3 points made with the Bulls and the Warriors. The second element of looking at statistics, and again, I'm not an analytics guy, but I look at second chance points, because when you give a team an opportunity on second chance opportunities, chances are that the more opportunities that exist for a team, they're going to cash in. And the third element, turnovers, and what they do with turnovers, points off turnovers. So, I mean, that's why I think Golden State won the game last night, taking nothing away from the Warriors, because they spread the floor and they did a really good job in the second game of a back-to-back after losing a really hard game the night before in Sacramento down the stretch at crunch time in the last 5 minutes. That was their third game in four nights. Steph wasn't expected to play. I talked to Steph, who I have a relationship with prior to the game, and he always has a very positive vibe about him. And you know what? I think he wanted to play, number one, because he loves the game. And secondly, you've got a lot of young eyeballs in that locker room looking up to him. And I also think he wants to send a message to that locker room saying, like, I know we have four rings, but, you know, we got to keep grinding here. We aren't living in the past. we have to live for the moment and then beyond. So that's what I think transpired.
Talking with Chuck Swirsky, Bulls Radio play-by-play voice on the Bulls Radio Network and your flagship for Bulls Radio right here on 670 The Score. Catch them taking on the Sixers tomorrow right here on The Score with Chuck and Bill on the call, 7 p.m. tip-off. You know, it seems like every day there's another rumor, Chuck, when it comes to the Bulls, and whether it's Vooch or LaVine or a number of other guys on this roster. As the NBA trade deadline nears, more and more swirls around this team. Do you think that could be, these guys are human, do you think that could be in their heads and part of what we're seeing with these struggles recently on the court?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm going to give you probably not a very good answer, but I'll say this. I think these players understand that this is a business, and they understand that being traded, being released is a part of the sport. And it's a tough part of the sport, as you mentioned. They are human beings. I know they're well paid, and I get all that. But money is not the issue when it comes to the insecurity of waking up every day and friends or family, or you go on the internet and you're reading about yourself that you might be traded. And but they got to deal with it, and they got to work through it. So does it affect them? Probably to a degree it does. I mean, again, they're human beings and they're not robots. But the rest of the stuff, you know, once you go to the arena, you got to put all that stuff out of your mind and lock in to the job at hand. And that's to do your very best to be a great team player and to win and compete at a very high level. The rest of that stuff, honestly, Rami, falls into place and it takes care of itself. It's, again, very, very hard, but this is what they signed up for. And this is what it's going to be like until the day they put the basketball down for good, that on any given moment they could get dealt. And just when you think you've got, you know, a secure place on a roster and you think you're going to be here and part of the core, out of nowhere comes a trade. Because mm-hmm. in my opinion, everyone in the NBA, probably with the exception of Wembanyama, is available. And when I say that, I think because everyone has a calling. And so if a team wants player A and the other team says, we're not interested in trading player A, and the other team says, well, how about this package? No, I told you, we're not trading that player. Then they come back with a sweetened deal and more before, you know, sooner or later, they're willing to overpay to get that player and give you a surplus of talent, and then you have to make the move. So I don't think, because Wembanyama is going to be the face of this you know, league for a decade plus, 15 years, I would think he's probably, you know, looking at the big picture, with all due respect to other players in the league, he's probably the only true non-tradable player in the league.
Do you have a feeling, Chuck, the trade deadline is coming up. It's February 6th. Do you have a feeling as to how different, if this team will look any different post-trade deadline?
Well, I mean, do I think AK and Mark try to improve the team? Absolutely. What that consists of, Rami, I don't know. I mean, I don't believe, and putting the Bulls aside, you can say this for any team in the league, whether we're talking about Indiana or San Antonio. The truth of the matter is, the last thing you want to do is do a short-term deal where it looks great for 25, 30 games, and then all of a sudden you realize you just traded assets. You can't do that. Yeah. So. And I don't think the Bulls are in that business of doing so. They want to collect assets. And AK and Mark know what they're doing. So I think that do they want to improve the ball club? 100%. But they're also not going to be in the market to make a trade for the sake of making a trade. You can't do that. And so I think they're going to be prudent. They're doing their due diligence to see the landscape of what's available. And if it makes sense, it makes sense. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Mattis Buzelis was named to the NBA dunk contest for NBA All-Star Weekend, Chuck. And we've seen flashes of what he can do around the rim in games. You see shoot-arounds, I would assume, Chuck. Have you seen a glimpse or gotten a taste of what the young man might do come NBA All-Star Weekend?
Well, a couple things. Number one, the broadcasters, we're not allowed to go into shoot-around. It's a team policy.
Oh, okay.
So I have not seen one practice or shoot-around. Now, we are allowed in during the media window that takes place after the shoot-around. And usually what happens in that space of about anywhere between 10 to 20 minutes before shoot-around ends, the players get on their bus, go to the hotel. Players usually are just working out. They're not, you know, Mattis is not going over his dunk routine, you know, whether or not he competes. And apparently it's been, you know, reported that he is. Mm-hmm. But in the case of that, it's not like when I was calling Raptors games where I was allowed and admitted into shoot-arounds, and I saw Vince Carter working on dunks.
Oh.
And so when he won it in Oakland in 2000, it really didn't surprise me what he was doing. Now, one of the dunks, he didn't know he was going to do the dunk until the night of the event. That's how gifted Vince was. I mean, I saw Vince go to the rim every night before he started to have knee issues. They called it jumper's knee. And for him to play 22 years in the league is remarkable, because I thought he was going to have a career that spanned probably 7 to 10 years before the knees were shot, because he dunked all the time. But I saw him in the first 4 years of his career, and then he had a couple of years where he just couldn't get his body together, and then he got traded to the Nets. Yeah. And he found a second lease on life, where he was back to Vince Carter, what I coined Air Canada Carter. Of course, in New Jersey, you couldn't call him Air Canada Carter. But hey, whatever. But but in the case of Mattis, I mean, he does have the enthusiasm and passion to dunk. And I think that and his gift to block shots, he's long, he's athletic, very athletic, and he has a spirit about him. And I love this kid because he loves the game. And Rami, there are players who like the game, and there are players who love the game. And he loves the game. He is a bona fide, certified gym rat. And you're going to win players over when you collect players like this, because it's very contagious in the locker room and contagious on the floor. Now, he's young, and he's making mistakes, which is natural. And I think Billy Donovan is doing a good job making sure that he plays the game the right way and his attention to detail on the defensive end. And maybe you'll see him more and play more the second half of the season, depending on what the roster looks like, I guess. But I'm very high on Mattis. I think he's going to be a really good player.
Last thing for you real quick, Chuck. You are the voice of the Bulls. And again, catch Chuck and Bill on the call for Bulls and Sixers tomorrow right here on The Score, 7 o'clock tip-off. But you're also kind of a Chicago sports radio legend, a jack of all trades. You know all the sports. What did you think of the Ben Johnson hire for the Bears this week?
Well, I mean, number one, I thought it was great for a lot of reasons. And, you know, the McCaskey family, justified or not, they get a lot of criticism, and I understand where Bear fans are coming from, but the McCaskey family gave the keys to the car to Kevin Warren, and you know, I mean, and Kevin Warren then said to Poles, you know, if this is the guy, let's bring him in, let's talk to him on Zoom, whatever the case may be, and let's make sure and get this right. And I think probably Ben Johnson was so overwhelmingly impressive that they knew, and they had done their homework on this guy already. There was, I mean, everybody in the league knew that he was always a step of everyone else, one step ahead of the defensive coordinator. And I mean, we saw it firsthand at Soldier Field on the fake fumble. I mean, where it just caught the Bears flat-footed, you know? And I think he is so innovative, and he's so creative. And what he did with Jared Goff, and credit Jared Goff, too, because he found a new lease on life from the Rams. But I think Ben Johnson gave him the confidence with a new playbook and with the creativity for Jared Goff to be the player that earned him to be the number one overall pick. And I think he's going to do wonders for Caleb, and I think he's going to do wonders for this offense because there are a lot of weapons, and I think because there are a ton of weapons on this team, they're going to rebuild this offensive line, and I think you're going to see the Bears do some major, major damage in future years. I mean, this is – I do agree with him in the press conference, Rami, when he said, you know what, this is a gold mine, and it is. There's no question.
He certainly won the press conference, and there's plenty to be excited about there. That is Chuck Swirsky, Bulls Radio, play-by-play voice on the Bulls Radio Network, and your flagship for Bulls basketball right here on 670 The Score. Catch him and Bill Wennington on the call tomorrow when they take on the Sixers, 7 o'clock tip-off, and my guest for the last few minutes here. Chuck, always appreciate the time, sir. You have yourself a great weekend. Hope you're dancing on Twitter tomorrow.
Yeah, so do I, Rami. Thank you. And, Rami, I give you a lot of credit. Because you have to deal with Robbie Triano on the other side of the glass. Of course, Robbie produces Bulls basketball.
Yeah.
And I think Robbie's record as Bulls producer is like 1-19.
Oh, it's so bad.
So we're trying to keep him away from our broadcast.
Oh, and no, Chuck, I understand. Kidding. I understand you have a birthday coming up. Happy birthday, sir.
Happy, but yeah, thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday, Chuck.
Okay,
I guess.
Be well.
There's Chuck Swirsky on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Why you got to do that, Robbie?
Yeah, I just caught a stray right there. Not my fault. The team sucks. Not my bad.
Well, they seem to only suck when you're around. Their record isn't that bad when you're not around.
I don't know. I guess that brings some bad juju. But Chuck is the absolute best. If you haven't heard his calls,
oh, I love
you
that,
too. Because him and Bill together are legitimately the funniest duo in broadcasting. They're the best.
And dude, I was telling the fiance this the other day, and I'll bring it to the air. Just his spirit. Like, you can't talk to a Chuck Swirsky and not be happy and optimistic and feel good about life when you're done talking to him. And he's always putting great stuff up on Twitter at CTS Bulls. Just a good, good man. Not a great announcer, but a great man as well. Always appreciate Chuck's time. Hey, if you missed Ben Johnson on the Mully and Haw show this morning, bringing that to you coming up at 8 o'clock here on the Score Evening Show. But after this, I want to go back to his introductory press conference, and my favorite thing that I heard from and about Ben Johnson, and why it should be very encouraging to you as well. That's coming up next. Rami Makhlouf with you here on The Score on a Friday night, and back right after this.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
With you until 9 o'clock, and if you missed Ben Johnson on Mully and Haw this morning, bringing that your way coming up in just a few minutes, 8 o'clock. So stay tuned right here to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Just talked with my man, Chuck Swirsky, the voice of the Chicago Bulls, and they take on the Sixers tomorrow right here on The Score. But Monday, Spiegel and Holmes will be live from 2 to 6:45 at the United Center before the Bulls take on the Nuggets. They'll be broadcasting outside sections 102 and 103, and we'll be joined by special guests throughout the show. That's Monday starting at 2 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. Spiegel and Holmes live from the United Center, and a bonus 45 minutes of Spiegel and Holmes before the Bulls take on the Nuggets. Ben Johnson was officially introduced as the Bears head coach. I almost said Bulls head coach. I wonder if he could do that too. As the Bears head coach on Wednesday, and I've said this throughout the show, he won. Not only did he win the press conference, but the Bears won the press conference, and that's a good thing. I'm not going to downplay that. I'm not going to put too much weight in that. But it was a good day for Ben Johnson and the Chicago Bears, and you heard a lot of things that you wanted to hear. But there was one thing in particular that I heard from Ben Johnson that really, really made me happy, had me encouraged, feeling good about the future of Caleb Williams, and it was how he's going to design this offense. Here's Ben Johnson on Wednesday.
It's clear that modern football in the NFL is quarterback driven. That is no secret. You can look at analytics. Right now, quarterback success is a higher predictor of winning and losing than turnover ratio, which it's been for 20 plus years. Okay, that's changed. So There's no doubt Caleb played a large component into my decision. He is a phenomenal talent that had, as many quarterbacks do, an up and down rookie year. Where I see my role is as a supporter of him. This offense will be calibrated with him in mind. We're going to build this thing. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope. We're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next. I really look forward to challenging him and pushing him, as I said before, to continue to grow and develop.
Man, I love that. I love that so much, and I hope he's true to his word. I hope it's just not lip service, because that's all I've wanted, man. That's all I wanted. And look, I'm not saying either of these names that I'm about to reel off to you are ever going to be Pro Bowlers. I just don't think they ever reached their potential or hit their ceilings. But that's what I wanted Matt Nagy to do with Mitch Trubisky, and then what I wanted Matt Nagy to do with Justin Fields, and then what I wanted Luke Getsy to do with Justin Fields, what I wanted a number of offensive coordinators to do with Jay Cutler, which is just build the thing, design the thing, tailor the thing around the player and at quarterback and the players that you have around him, design it to them and their strengths. There's a quote, I don't know if it's a quote or just a, I'm paraphrasing. Let's say I'm paraphrasing from the Bill Belichick, A Football Life, over there on the NFL Network. And to a man, all his assistants said one thing that set Bill Belichick apart from other head coaches that they worked for was he would tell his guys, hey, don't tell me what a guy can't do. Tell me what a guy can do, and let's work around that. That, to me, is what great coaches do. And what Ben Johnson said, along with an excerpt that I want to read you from Adam John's piece in The Athletic, talking about Ben Johnson's path to the Bears, all the places that he's worked, the people that he's worked with, the influences that he's had. If you haven't checked it out, you should. And I thought this was really interesting and sort of speaks to this idea that I'm talking about of building an offense around what you have. And it's just a quick paragraph. He says, he's the West Coast offense, Air Coryell and more. Over the past two seasons, Johnson's offense averaged the most points and yards. Quote from Mike Martz, he's not patterning himself off anybody. He's gleaning what he's learned and tweaking it. You can't do that unless you understand the game on an intimate basis, and there's not many people in the league that really understand the game at such an intimate level. I'm talking about the run game, the pass protections, motions, all that stuff. He understands that. Now, you don't do that unless you've got great exposure or you've studied it over the years and retained it. And then this quote from Clyde Christensen, former Dolphins offensive coordinator who worked with Ben Johnson early in his career. He said he's got a ton of ideas and backgrounds and philosophies and kind of made them his own. The Lions are his own. It's Ben Johnson's offense. And now he's bringing it to Chicago. I love the idea that the Bears have a smart, bright, open-minded guy who isn't so set in his ways that he's going to hammer a quarterback or hammer a player of this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it. The fact that he can adapt and build things around the players that he has and pluck things from people who he's learned in the past and utilize those now, that's very, very, very encouraging, man. And it's all I've wanted from a head coach. So that was my favorite thing I heard from Ben Johnson and about Ben Johnson on Wednesday and in the aftermath of his hiring. Speaking of the Bears' new head coach, he joined Mully and Haw this morning right here on The Score. And I'll bring that to you next right here on The Score Evening Show on a Friday night.